Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Thank you for subscribing. I'm going to give you a little bit of bonus. We were on Brandon Janu's show last night, top 10 movies that have impacted his life. And some right at the end there, as I was giving plugs, I gave up the topic for next week's episode. And come to find out, it sounded like everybody wanted to talk about it. So that's what we ended up doing. We ended up having a conversation about our next topic for next week. I hope you listen. So please subscribe, follow, all that good stuff, and all the people that are on this next clip, please go follow them. Please go do that, y'all. Appreciate it. We really hope you enjoy it. The topic is real deep and it's a deep conversation, and please listen to it. Love y'all. Peace.
Hey man, I ain't want to say this out loud, but I was waiting on an invitation to the dark therapy room, but I guess it's with my Malcolm X vote still in the mail, huh?
Nah, we never sent it.
Oh man.
Nah,
even better.
That's the savage comment of the night right there.
We haven't had any guests yet. And we haven't really decided whether or not we want to have guests at this
Don't
point.
Don't do it. Just leave it y'all two, man. Y'all cool.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all cool.
So
but
that's where
some
we're
of
at,
us yeah. do need some make appointments, you know, to talk to the doctors because we got some dark therapy we need.
Well, Nelson was like, what?
Yo, we got, this next episode we're going to do is, I don't know we're doing anything outside of that. The topic's going to be the first episode, actually. So,
yeah, the next one we're going to tackle is suicide. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Deep. Real deep. Yeah.
That's.
Like I said on the one we just recorded, that's coming out tomorrow. It should be tomorrow, the next day.
It's one of those days.
Yeah.
It's one of these days. Like.
Facts. There was a child that just 15 years old just swallowed 400 pills because he wanted to kill himself. And right now he's in the hospital, and the parents, you know, don't have a lot of money, so they're putting up a donation and shit like that. But you know, to be 15 years old and to want to swallow 400 pills just because you don't want to be here anymore, man, that's just tough.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to cut you off, but you got a link to that donation? Because honestly,
it's on my Facebook page.
I had a best friend that killed himself. You know what I'm saying? Tough. Like,
that sucks, yo.
That's deep, man. Like, that was my brother. You know what I'm saying? And he was always happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never seen no signs.
Well, that's the thing about depression.
They hide it, though, man.
The thing about depression, because my sister committed suicide, I believe now probably two or three Christmas ago on Christmas Eve and passed away Christmas Day morning. You won't see it sometimes. You really don't. And it's like, even if you do see it, there's you could do everything in the world. You could get all the professionals. You could put them on the balancing regulation of the right medications. At the end of the day, depression is fucking crucial. Yeah. You know, mental health is real. Bipolarness is like, we did everything. We did everything to make her happy. We did everything to see that she laughed. We did everything. It's like it's about it. You can't do anything about it. Because at the end of the day,
my wife used to tell me that. Because I used to be like, he was always the uplift. Like, if he seen any unhappiness, he would make you happy. Like, why? You know, he was that. When he walked in the room, he glowed like. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta think about it. So when they are happy when they're around us, but you don't know what they're suffering when they're alone.
Exactly.
When by themselves in that room in the house, when everybody go, when the party is over, Sunday dinner is now, everybody taking their leftover plates and everybody leaving. You don't know what the circumstances when their room is empty. See, he probably put on that happy face when, as she did when we was all there. But it was times when her mother walked in the room and she's basically, she did the pill thing. She walked in front of a train. She walked in front of a bus. She tried to go in front of the street and get hit by a car. And me and my brothers try to always stop her from walking in front of in the highway or whatever the case may be. It was all the time, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We used to not get no rest because we had to always guard her. it was just, and again, like even Arce, I heard Arce say it, it's in the within the individual.
Mm-hmm. So true. And you know, with me and Brandon, I think we actually do suffer from it still. And we laugh and we joke while we're here, and we do the best we can. We put up a good face, you know, a good front, and we do the best that we can. But at the same time, once we hit end, we have to deal with ourselves by ourselves.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. that's when it's the hardest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard on the family members who have to deal with the people who deal with it, because they have to deal with the signs and the symptoms. They have to be on, like Ms. Quamia was saying, they couldn't even rest because they had to always watch them and make sure that they, you know, and that's something to really take note of in individual cases. Like,
and within the family, you try to do everything you can to see whatever you could do to turn that around, to make mm-hmm. them happy, to make them feel different, to not feel that way. But again, it's nothing. We could do everything.
There's nothing you can do at the end of the day.
We went to a beyond to three different, we went to two countries, we went to five, six states to get the best doctors, making sure mm-hmm. the best right, making sure she if she ain't like it or make her feel some type of way, we was like, okay, let's change the doses, let's up it, let's reduce it, let's do this, let's change that. We did everything. I mean, we even to the fact we always crowded her with love, kisses, hugs, everything. But again, we was exhausting ourselves, but it's them, and then it hurts us.
Kudos on to y'all for doing that, for real.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then it hurts us. Because it's like everything we did, everything we tried, everything we thought of, it still wasn't able to help or work. You know what I'm saying? And but so,
you know, it had nothing to do with y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why when somebody asked me when I did an interview, someone asked me, do I regret, or am I mad at my sister from killing herself? I say, I can't be mad at her. Because at the end of the day, wherever she's at right now, she's not in pain, no longer in pain. She's no more longer suffering. She's no longer fighting with the, exactly. She wanted the noise to stop in her head. She's no longer fighting with whatever's going on inside her head. She's not fighting no more, exactly. And that noise got loud to her. So to the fact is, and then you gotta remember that my sister was one time incarcerated for some stupid shit in PA. That's why I don't like Pennsylvania, because they fucking laws is stupid as hell. They don't deal with mental health properly. They thought she was just acting out. And then for you to put a person with mental disability, a mental health depression, and the bipolar symptoms into a hole, that's the worst thing you could do. The noise would get louder in their head.
Yeah, and then you leave them with their thoughts.
Then you shooting them and pumping them up with tranquilizers, thinking that's supposed to help them calm them down, when you're basically just violating the whole function.
And I'm very sorry to cut you off, because this is where I feel guilty within my best friend death, because he actually called me a day before it happened. And I was kind of busy and I didn't answer the call, you know, and when I finally got around to it, I didn't even get around to it. I saw his death actually on Facebook after he tried to call me, literally 3 hours, me getting back to it. And I'm looking on Facebook saying, rest in peace, Dario. I'm like, hold up. He just tried to call me, you know, and I missed it. So I feel like it's my fault. If I would have answered that call, you know, like, I feel like he would have still been here to this day. I feel like that.
But see, I can't let him live with that guilt, because you never know. Like, you
can't say that.
You
didn't take his life. You know what I'm saying? You can't hold yourself responsible for that.
Yeah, and that's your podcast is sentient. I can't let you live with that either. Because at the end of the day, you could have answered the call. Y'all could have talked for hours, but still, that still didn't want to mean that after he hung up from that.
Right.
Is all he wanted to hear is brother voice.
But listen. No. A person does not come to the point to want to unalive themselves, kill themselves, take their own life, just from somebody not answering the phone. It comes from years and years and years of fighting demons, torturing their own soul, abuse, things that have happened in life and experience that they can't, in their mind, they cannot stay in a world that exists like that. And that's, I, in my heart, I feel like that's where it comes from.
I mean, he could have called you and y'all could have talked, but at the end of the day, he had already made his mind up.
Exactly.
Exactly. And that's what I would, that's what I always enforce in him, that and, he can't hold that guilt forever, because you're not God. You couldn't have stopped that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like he probably did call you just to say, maybe in his own way, goodbye.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of what he could have done, but it wasn't. It's nothing that you could have done for that. Yeah. I mean,
don't hold that shit.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, man, he knew how much you loved him. He knew how much you cared for him. He knew you would have talked him down, but at the end of the day, it's still something that you couldn't do.
Yeah.
Real quick,
I mean, if it's okay with everybody, y'all mind if Brendan sends this to me and I put it on the Dark Therapy session? I would love to put this on there. I mean, I thought it was a great conversation.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
This is an important conversation for people to have.
Yeah, I mean, suicide,
man. That's
it affects everybody.
This is why this episode is going to be tough.
It is,
there's no way
I'll tell y'all flat out, I've tried 3 times. I just never had the balls to go fully through with it. You know what I'm saying?
I've tried it too.
You know what I'm saying? So hanging myself, pills, just a bunch of shit. You know what I'm saying? And I've tried it, and I've always still, even to this day, I kind of give myself, I even call myself a coward a little bit, because I never actually went through with it. But at the same time, I'm happy to be here. You know what I mean? But.
And we are happy that you are still here.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? I really do. And that's why I keep doing this podcasting shit. You know what I'm saying? But every time I did it, I was always thinking about myself. I was being selfish. You know what I'm saying? It was always the short-term problems. And to me, that was my long-term solution. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, but every single time after I came from it, when I felt like I was being a coward, I could only just stare at my kid's face, my kid's faces, cause I got 3. And I could never imagine leaving them like the way my father left me. Not that he committed suicide. It's just that he was just never there. You know what I'm saying? And I can only imagine the kind of fucked up I would give my kids by their
Important part that when I talk to people who have those types of thoughts and are obsessed with death and talk about it a lot, I always express to them that, to me, suicide, taking your own life, is not about ending your own pain necessarily. It adds to the pain that you leave the people behind and your children, your parents, whoever, you know, your loved ones, your husbands, your wives, the people that are left behind to mourn you will always remember all them good times, but they have to, when they think of you gone, they have to think the fact that you chose to not be here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like fighting cancer. It wasn't like having HIV or, you know, lupus. It was, you chose to take yourself away from me. And for children that's left behind, that's a hard thing for them to grow up with, that their love wasn't enough to make you stay. And so they develop mental issues from
it. The cycle starts all over.
And the cycle starts all over.
Yeah. And I have to say this, like, I hear you, Kim, but it's like, when somebody dealing with depression, mental illness, they know the people around them love them, but at the time they're not really thinking about they're thinking about the fact, trust me,
I know I buried a 3-month-old baby in 2009, and if anybody wanted to die, I did. But the whole point was, it was like, I'm for like 3 years after he first passed away. When we had the J Money episode, I mentioned this. Like, I didn't never actively try to kill myself. I just didn't care if my actions caused death. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, and because of it now, and I can say this now, because my daughter is in a hospital right now fighting depression and anxiety and hearing things and people in her mind telling her that she ain't worth life. So I know in my heart of hearts that my cycle created her cycle, but her cycle started because she's the one that found him not responding back then. You see, well, she was 10 years old and found him not respect. So if anybody understands suicide, I understand suicide because I literally contemplated it several thousand times along the way. Yeah. And I do understand that they're not considering anybody else at the time, and it's a selfish thing to do. But that's where our encouragement for those types of mental illness and special needs steps in, and we say, okay, we try to give them whatever we can along the way, you know. But like we were saying about his brother, like, they would have never known that he was like that, because he would have never even talked like that, you know.
Never wasn't like, you really couldn't tell.
Because a lot of people don't show it. They suffer in silence at the end of the day. There's some people you will see the signs, and there's others that you won't see the signs. And I'm not saying that, Kim, that you're not understanding. I'm just saying that the same thing. They're not looking at it as for it to be selfish or to leave people behind. They just want the noise and the pain to stop.
Yeah, of course.
And to, like, you know, they're not saying that, oh my God, I'm banning them, I'm being selfish, I know they're going to suffer, you know, of me not being here. Or it's not they like trying to punish or put that moaning on the family. It's just the fact that they just want that pain to stop. And then for us as family, we do everything we can, and it's like, we can't. Like, we even went from three different countries to 6 or 7 different states of different doctors, to medication, to making we surround her with love, to do everything above the sun, to the atmosphere, to space and back and beyond. And still,
but the weird thing about it, it's like the medications is like, it's making it worse
for some, because it's not the right dosage, or it's not
entirely possible. That's the reason I got off of mine. My SSRIs was because of that. I started feeling like a zombie. The world was just revolving around me.
Well, that's why my daughter is in the hospital now. She's getting her medication regulated, because the medication they had her on was making it worse. Like, it was bad to the point, like, I wasn't sleeping or anything.
The mushrooms have completely helped me, yo. I didn't mean to cut you off, Kim.
Austin
knows how I feel about pills. He already knows how I feel about pills. They are temporary fixes.
Mm-hmm. And that's why some people will receive well to it, and then some not. And that's why I say
I
that.
Do.
That's why you have to go to your doctor to communicate, because if something making you feel like a zombie, you got to let them know. You have to sit there, I'm not feeling right. So now we got to switch. We got to change. We got to do something. Then we got to try something else.
Sometimes that can be too late.
And then, be too late. But at the same time, then you also got the person who's dealing with the depression who don't want to take it. So how the hell we gonna sit there? If y'all seen my size, my sister was my size. You know, how the hell we try to force this big ass girl try to put pills down her throat? And we barely was trying to force her not to walk in the street or try to jump on the train track. Like, that's crazy. Like, you don't know what to do. So it's like she was like, hey, y'all, these pills not making me feel better. This, like, these shits are making me feel horrible. So we was like, okay, we did everything with the pills, with the medication. What else do you want us to do? You know what I'm saying? We kept saying, Tia, what you want us to do? Tia, what you want us to do? Like, what else can we actually do for you? What else do you need for us to do for you to make you feel better? We did everything. We even went the holistic way.
And it goes to show you that it really is just up to the individual. You know,
yes.
Yeah, you can't talk somebody out. If their mind is set that they don't want to be here anymore, they'll figure a way to make it happen. I mean,
some people, we talk about this all the time. Some people that just need to sit in it. Mm. They need to figure out their own way of dealing with it. So that's maybe the way sitting I do it. In it. Yeah, sitting in it. Some people are always trying to get you a quick fix, and it's like that shit don't fix nothing.
Right. Yeah,
that's what people don't understand sometimes. It's like, you can't tell me how to fix my shit for me. Mm-hmm. I have to figure this shit out myself, and that's why I love to sit by myself and figure this shit out myself, because you can't tell me, because you're not gonna be here to tell me how to move when you're gone. So how the fuck you gonna tell me how to move now? That's the thing. Like, I have to sit in my shit.
Yeah,
I have to sit in my depression. I have to, because if I don't, and I'm just looking for quick fixes, it's gonna get worse. I know it is.
I'm sure everybody can agree. There's been times you wake up and just want to cry. For no reason at all.
I have a lot of those days.
I have many times, and honestly, in my healing journey, because a healing journey is a lifestyle, not a Monday to Friday or a 9 to 5. It's a implement lifestyle all day, every day, 365 days. This is what I do cry when I feel like it. Sometimes I'm like, why the fuck am I crying?
It helps.
But it does help. It's called purging. Cause sometimes you have it just has emotional body function that automatically just happened on its own, that you just need something in your body, your mental, your mind is telling that something needs to be released. Mm-hmm. And as humans, we go trying to be strong human beings and go through life and try to make it, and you know, try to survive and do everything, be mommy, daddy, husband, wife, sister, aunt, uncle, brother, everything. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when the door closes and we by ourselves, like Brandon said, you got to sit in the shit and realize and end up figuring out sometimes. Right. And sometimes you wake up, like Arce said, you want to cry. And listen, I do. I remember I used to see my grandmother at the kitchen sink washing dishes, crying. I never understood it until I got older. Not only was she crying, but she was praying. Not only was she praying, but she was talking out loud and having conversations. You know what I'm saying? To herself. So we used to think, like, what the hell is going on? But it's the things that she needed to get out. This woman held the whole world on her shoulder, carrying 8 kids, 22 grandkids, and 15 great-grands. You know what I'm saying? And being the matriarch of a whole household, a family. So I understood. So when we got older, when we seen that, we let it be what it is, because we understood, like, she praying for her family, she need to purge, she having a conversation, figuring out what the fuck she need to do next. You know, so, and then now my son see me do that, because he used to see his great-grandmother do it. He's like, my mother just have to do what she have to do. You know, she's getting shit out. It's not unnormal to me no more. And I do. Even sometimes I put on my gospel music, I be in here just yelling and screaming and praising the God and hallelujah, the universe and the vibe, the energy of the world, and just, you know, restoring my energy and purging all the stuff that I need to get out and cry. Because you really fucking do. Because holding that shit in will make you explode. You either going to kill somebody or you're going to kill yourself.
And you know what? That's real. Because I was young when I actually went to like a therapist, and this, he told me, like, I see a lot of tension in you. Like, you have a lot of backed up Like, I could see it. And I was kind of like talking over it. He was like, no, you need to let it out. You know, mm-hmm. holding back. So I could, you know, you just hit a nail. And something about myself when I was young, I used to hold back a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and he told me, like, you need a release before you, like you just said, before you kill somebody. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I could see the tension in your eyes right now. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And I just want our community or just even the world just realize that, you know what I'm saying, it's okay to cry, it's okay to purge, it's okay to release, but just to find a healthy realization of doing that, because we cannot keep the restore a negative energy within our bodies, because it will eat us alive, it will tear us apart, it will make us go crazy.
It'll literally kill us.
Yeah, exactly. Just like stress will. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be able to find a healthy balance to be able to release these negative energy toxins and endorphins out of our body. That's why working out is good. That's why punching a punching bag or doing kickboxing or whatever it is that you need to do, jumping rope or just running 5, 10, 15 miles, whatever. So do Forrest Gump shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, bring it back to the movie. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just, you just need to do something to release, because our body was not created to restore negative energy. Our body was all, even as women, when we sleep, we have to we release a lot of, everybody, our body sweat during we sleep because it's releasing a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? And now that it's restoring for the next day. The bones is healing. The skin is, you know, recuperating. Everything is doing what it needs to do. Even with the vagina, it's airing out. It's sitting your pH balance. It's doing restoring everything it needs to do. So you got to realize that the same way you have to do with your mind. And people forget that the brain is a muscle that we have to continue to work. But we have to pay attention to that, because therapy is a good solution. It is. We don't want to have to run to medicine because people don't like it. Cool. I don't even like taking the motherfucking aspirin when I got a headache. I sit there and use my essential oils, put my diffuser on, put some calming music, cut all the lights on, give me a cold pack, put it on my eyes, because I like the natural holistic way. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to restore my body with no aspirin or with Tylenol or whatever. I want to be able to know that I can do this on my own and my body is strong enough to do it. So we have to realize that also we need help and guiding into doing that way. That's what counselors and therapists and psychiatrists are there for. And if you don't find the right one the first time, that's why we have to interview many of them to find the right one.
Yeah. I'm pro cannabis psychiatric treatment. Just let me add that. I believe that's the miracle cure for all issues. Just that's a Miss Possible disclaimer. Yo, not representing the Brandon Janu show or anybody Kim, else on right here.
Kim, you said that. I say quickly turn this camera off.
Since you're gonna bring a spotlight to it, I just
and I'm a believer of everybody. Like you said, therapy. Okay, everybody needs an outside opinion. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, talking to a therapist is good for people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and talking to family, I tell them, if anything, a therapist gives you a clean slate board that you can just bounce your whole issues off of, and they supposedly, if that's humanly possible, might I add, but they supposedly, objectively can give you an intellectual view into why your behaviors are what they are, you know?
Absolutely. Let me tell you this, because I hear a lot of people, especially men, and I had this argument with one of my brothers where, do you think I want to talk to somebody telling me what to do? Therapists are not there to tell you what to do. Therapists are there, they're your soundboard to you, for you to pour all your rain down on them. And as they're listening to you, they are sitting there giving you the tools and installing the skills that you already have. They're enhancing the skills that you already have, providing the proper tools for you to tap in and receive the solution that you already know is there, but they're there to help you find it. That's all it is. Yeah. Every Sunday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am on Zoom with my therapist. I vent to this woman like no one's soul. She never told me what to do. What she said that she did, she provided me with solutions of options and whatever I want to take. Yep. I want to take A, B, or C. Then she said, then next week, let me know which one you choose, and then dude, that's your homework.
They give me homework every time.
Did you talk to such and such? Did you let them know? Did you say this? Did you do that?
That shit get on my nerves.
They never tell you what to do. And that's the thing about Black people, because the fight is, I keep hearing people say, I don't want no therapist telling me what to do. I don't want to be that. They're not telling you what to do.
They hear what you're saying.
And I was young when I saw one, and I understood it. I did. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I never understood what people said. Therapist is not for me. Why not?
Right.
Well, why? I mean, I know I'm not Black, but in my house, we were taught that psychiatry was like psychobabble bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. It was quackery, that they couldn't tell you what's in your mind, that you just give them your money to sit there and listen to you the same as you could talk to your best friend. That's what I was taught.
But your best friend,
it's not much different.
Your best friend, I got the ability. See, the thing is, but it's a big difference because you're talking to a non-biased person that does not know mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Your best friend, you talking to a non-biased person that does not know shit about you. So they can't sit there and say, you know what? So it's like you telling them a story. So you talking to your best friend. Your best friend know Tamika, Sharonda, and Rhonda, right? Y'all all know each other. They gonna sit there and now your best friend Cynthia, she has a biased opinion because she got emotions in it. Now your therapist don't have no emotions attached. No, she don't know none of these people that you're talking about. All she care about is she dealing about providing you the person Kim in her office or on the Zoom call about what Kim needs to do, properly provide and give Kim the tools to talk to Tamika, Sharonda, and Stephanie.
I cut them off.
That's it.
I cut them off.
And then, yeah, you provided her everything that's in your heart, your mind, your spirit, and your soul, because your story, your pain, your trauma, everything that you're pouring to her, you're giving her everything that's in your head, everything you're fighting.
I still feel like they're secretly judging me. That's why I don't like fucking what? Me.
Stop it. you need to have the change.
That's that what, though? A best friend going to tell you something you don't want to hear, too. Also, a real best friend.
I'm gonna tell you
what's best for you. You know what I'm saying?
I'm finding myself.
It's kind of a similarity too, though, when you think about it. You know what I'm saying? Like a real best friend is gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna tell you what's best for you. Fuck everything else. I love you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. A therapist at the same time is like, okay,
I feel like for me, we're gonna get to the solution therapy
of the problem or why it makes you hurt. Like, you know what I mean?
Dark therapy for me is my therapy, straight up.
Yeah, and everybody
has sit there because, like, look, none of us has actually met in person. You know what I'm saying? Right. That includes me and Brandon. And that's what me and Brandon do, man. That's what we talk about. Just the shit that's bothering us or whatever's on our mind. Even if we have a topic, chances are, you know, we got an hour to fill, bro. So chances are we're going out somewhere. We're doing all that. And then somehow we get back to it. You know
we had to do like two episodes on one topic.
Yeah, but we fucked up.
It was completely different episodes. Like, if you
of course, that. Yes.
It was completely different episodes.
I found that it's different times, different topics, different environments that lead to different conversations about the same topic because. Everything comes down to your perception of life, of every like individual perception, and what's important to one person is not going to be important to another person. That's where it makes it difficult, and that's where the conversations get interesting, because like your priorities, when I walked into the movie conversation, the first thing I heard was, oh yeah, Sharon Stone, Basic Instinct, I used to jack off my whole teenage years to her.
That was me, y'all.
Right. So, you know, that conversation could lead to like four different episodes. Like,
there's the whole conversation
to that, even that statement. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, if y'all would have saw DC's face when she said that.
I was watching.
She was like, huh?
That's the part that I came in on, and they were already established in the conversation, DC. So don't feel bad.
I feel great. I missed that shit.
Nah, right. But yo, but what he really misses is how much I used to jack off during Malcolm X.
That's all like a you problem, not a me problem.
Nah, I think we did it recording.
No, this is great, y'all. I think we should record right now.
Because everybody getting canceled. Everybody getting canceled.
Good editing job to do.
Nah, oh, man.
Half of the time.
Seriously, I would love
right
now. Oh, man.
If Brandon says this to me, I would love to put this on the dark therapy session, if y'all don't mind.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Well, I'll play it for real.
Do it.
All right, thank you.
I got you.
Thanks, y'all. I appreciate y'all. I really got to get going. It's past my bedtime, y'all. For real.
Yeah, it's 12:30 here.
My bedtime is a little extended tonight.
You deserve it, my brother. You deserve it, my brother.
Word is bond. Hell yeah.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all for coming through again, like always. Thank y'all.
Yeah.
No doubt. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, hopefully no ancestors visit y'all in sleep because of what.
No, we good. You know, I roll for the Malcolm X. So we,
except for DC, he's gonna have sleep paralysis when he wake up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Two times.
That's right. I burn some sage. The niggas will leave me alone.
All right, y'all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
He's saging. He's saging.